This is Follow the White Rabbit, and you are listening to H Avenger, Horus the Avenger. The model we are under is a Samizdat model. And the template we have been using since the beginning of Horus the Avenger's Follow the White Rabbit is the fall of the Soviet Union. And we live in exciting times. When the Soviet Union came down, they were in a Cold War. They had expended all their money and resources in a gigantic Cold War. And one morning the Commissars came in, and they started pushing the buttons to make their empire run. And no one listened. Everyone just started laughing at them. Almost as if magic, things started falling. The Berlin Wall came down, so on, so forth, etc. in history. And that is history. Right now we're watching the fall of another Soviet Union, the fall of another empire, run very similar, with a very similar oligarchy, oligarchical structure. Right now, what we're seeing geopolitically, this empire has stretched all across the globe with a great deal of power, a great deal of money. It's in a hot war, not a cold war, a hot war, generally with the whole entire planet from the looks of it. But what we've seen is something extraordinary. We've seen during this hot war, during this massive expenditure of all the money of this empire, as it comes to an end, we see this Snowden issue. And I don't know much about Snowden one way or another. I can speculate on him till the cows come home. But one thing I do know is the empire is given orders. It's given orders to those outside of the empire. And those orders are being ignored. They're no longer listening to the Commissars. They're now starting to laugh at them. Washington's demands are being met with comments from Mr. Putin, quote-unquote, drivel. Drivel coming from Washington. Soon, what we're seeing internally in America, and we've seen this for quite so many months, I just haven't pointed it out explicitly, is Washington has given orders. The local sheriffs, the local counties, the local cities are starting to ignore them. This is how the Soviet Union falls. It doesn't fall with bombs and everything else. Although, I guess in a hot war, we could see a giant war in the Middle East, and we can get in that speculation. But generally, the Soviet Union falls without any violence at all. The thing just comes down. Generally, the mask of respectability comes off the people at the top. That has already happened internationally. It can be undeniable. I don't care what side of the spectrum you sit on this. Undeniable that they are under attack from all sides. They have lost all kinds of leverage and pull. And all this diatribe they go into about human rights and everything else has generally just fallen to the floor. Because everyone on this planet knows they're recording everything. Everyone, everywhere.
Yeah, you know, I think it's kind of funny, Horace, because it used to be that people would flee the Soviet Union and defect to the U.S. to escape an authoritarian government. And now we have this guy who's escaping the U.S. and going to Russia. And don't think that all of Europe doesn't see this.
Oh, yeah. Well, our job, of course, is to bring white genocide into the public conversation. To have a very broad discussion on white genocide. We, of course, use the mantra, there's no news to my listeners. But old Bob has a saying, and I've been going around talking to parties like Truck Roy, I've talked to several others that listeners would know, about public exposure and about microphones in your face. Different listeners will remember me talking about this to them privately on Skype. And old Bob has a saying. I believe he said this at the first Stormfront conference I was at. He said, when you're taking over the world, someone may notice. And generally speaking, we're under a samizdat model. We're under a fall of the Soviet Union model. A samizdat is all anonymous. But obviously, I'm not a rabbit. Bob's not a rabbit. Truck Roy's not a rabbit. If you have a website anywhere in the world, you're not anonymous. Even if you think you are, you're not. If you're speaking at a Stormfront conference 2 years in a row or 3 years in a row or even just 1 year for 30 seconds, you're not anonymous. That's just reality. So those that know me, those that have talked to me on Skype, and there's been dozens upon dozens, are always shocked to see my real name on Skype. There's nothing to hide. As soon as Horus the Avenger followed the White Rabbit, when it first came out, I thought there was going to be 6 or 7 podcasts put up on Bob's site. That's it. I would have been a White Rabbit. I would have been anonymous for all time. But, of course, as soon as you get your own website, all that changes. So there's no point in anything else other than to get the ball rolling. With our message, it's an infectious message in so much as that when a lot of people start using it, they'll use it under their real names. They really don't care anymore. We're not doing anything illegal. We're not talking about anything nefarious. You can say, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. In every country, in the West, you're not going to go to jail. That's the way that goes. And our objective, of course, was bring white genocide to have a very public discussion on white genocide. And that is an ongoing process. We've seen a lot of interesting moves in the United Kingdom with very public figures coming out. Talking about white genocide. One neocon gave an answer to an anti-white, and it's on the front page of my website, that I was very pleased to see about a contradiction regarding colonialism. You know, no one's actually flooding Turkey with non-Turks and saying we're going to create this blended humanity and destroy your culture and people as a punishment for the Ottoman Empire. And he gave that as an example, and I thought that was pretty provocative because that's always the answer I give German listeners. This isn't a Turkish problem. This is a white problem. So we're seeing this logic, we're seeing this contradiction right on the edge of mainstream discussion, which is our goal. Bob saw this, of course, a long time ago. But anytime you're doing this type of thing, you're not going to remain anonymous forever, obviously, especially if you have a website. And in the course of this over the past year, specifically, I've set up, talked to various different bugster swarms or so on and so forth, etc. Truck Roy being one of them, about, you know, microphones in your face, that type of thing. In this particular discussion, we have an interesting paradigm with the media. And the paradigm is this. In this week, apparently, my information is, and I haven't talked to Don Black about it, ABC News was at the Don Black's house wanting to talk about coming to the Stormfront conference, and Don Black says no. And you know, he's Don Black, he runs a show, whatever. One of the challenges I have faced, and I've never talked about this, is that there are in elements of the press, elements, journalistic elements, that want legitimate quotes on the record, that want to set up things for the future, because they're worried about one morning not being able to get out a story. I mean, their job is to get out a story. Their job is to get comments on the record, off the records. Their job is to be journalists. They're not all bad people. But many of them work for organizations that are historically virulently anti-white. It's not always going to be that way. You know, so I have done questions and answers with different parties, so on and so forth. And generally, I do everything via MP3. But I have a standard MP3 reply. I've done it, and I redone it just this last week, and we've been doing it for the past, ever since the, what was that one affair? Breivik affair. Breivik affair, of course, I was on the email list. Horus the White Rabbit was on email list, and we've got some very provocative emails from different elements of the media, in which, of course, I answered them via MP3. I can't remember what all or whatever. I never read the Breivik Manifesto. It went to the spam box and didn't know about it until we actually got emails from different media outlets, generally outside of North America. Generally, but not exclusively outside of North America. But that's an interesting story. And of course, anyone that talks to me on Skype, like Adelheim is now on and Truck Roy is now on. Adelheim, this will be his first follow the White Rabbit. You're going to see my name. That's nothing new. There's nothing, in this type of thing, the enemy and the SPLC is writing something on Bob, probably writing something on White Rabbit Radio, probably writing something on all of the above. You know, I guess they were shocked to finally get a hold of me or something like that. It's not. Our policy has always been if any type of investigative journalist wants to find someone with a website, it's pretty easy to do. It's just whether or not you want to make it difficult on them or whatever. With that being said, our policy has always been if someone's going to call and get a hold of some swarmer down in Truck Roy's neighborhood, and they're going to call his house 30 times, well, they might as well be talking to Truck Roy.
Right.
If someone's going to try and call all Bob's relatives to talk to Bob, you might as well talk to Bob. If someone's looking for the white rabbit, you might as well find him. I know we're not hiding anything. There's nothing I haven't said on the record that I wouldn't say to the media or anything else. It's kind of like all for the world to listen to. What we're doing is pointing out contradictions, and we are lawful participants. But I had a brief conversation with Ryan something or other. I can't remember his last name, from the SPLC. I happen to be bad with last names. And the conversation appears that they are trying, or appears that there was some type of big crime in Canada, and the person committing the crime was posting the mantra or parts of the mantra, supposedly. I don't know. I don't know anything about it. And what I pointed out to the gentleman was that what I always point out, you know, the Twin Towers didn't bring down the empire. Oklahoma City didn't bring down the empire. Mr. Breivik didn't bring down or change the political discourse in Norway because violence doesn't work. Violence doesn't bring down this type of system. Mr. Snowden did not drop, well, he dropped bombshells, but he didn't exactly blow up the NSA, but he did. This type of system comes down generally without violence. There's no template we have for the Soviet Union coming to a halt. Not that there couldn't be one, but I don't have one with a bunch of violence. So anyone, that's why Canada, the anti-white system that rules over Canada is still in place because it just doesn't work. And that's what I pointed out to him. But any of my listeners know that. But that appears what they're doing. And I've tried to get several of you ready, for this particular process, for this stage, because Bob, since the first Stormfront conference, Bob has envisioned certain things, and he's usually right. And he is old. He's ready to hand things off. Well, not necessarily hand things off. We envisioned five to who knows how many sites with his particular writings on it in the future. But anyways, that's enough of that. Let's get on with this follow the white rabbit and talk to Adelheim and Truck Roy about anti-whiteism and about all kinds of other interesting things going on.
You bet, man. We were actually talking, I don't know, a week or two ago, Adelheim and I, and we were talking about anti-whiteism along with my friend Jeb. And this term is very, very interesting because there's an initial immediate reaction from a lot of our guys that, you know, we don't want to get into isms. But, of course, we're not advocating for this ism. We're generally opposed to isms, and we're really especially opposed to anti-whiteism. And it's not a creation of a new ism. It's actually just putting a name on an existing ism. You know, the establishment has a program. When, you know, as Bob's pointed out, when censors are censoring things that happen to coincide with the things that are politically incorrect, it's a program. And the establishment pushes anti-whiteism on children from the time they're in kindergarten to college. And it believes in it. I mean, you're really hardcore anti-whites out there have a religious fervor. In fact, I think you used a different word, Horace. You know, it's like a pathology.
Well, what you're doing, when I've heard this for months now. Adelheim needs to get a word in edgewise here, but I've heard this word for months because they came up with it across Europe. We've had some challenges with translations, and you're always going to do that a little bit with any consistent message. And what we are dependent on in this model is someone like Adelheim, some of the different elements now popping up in Spain, Germany, so on and so forth, not to mention their names, you know, German rabbit this, blah, 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 blah. You guys get the picture. We're totally dependent on them grabbing something, totally grabbing something, and making it their own or making a turn or a twist when something doesn't seem right. And what they did in Europe is they did this anti-vetism, is what it was, wasn't it, Adelheim?
Yeah.
And well, that's I'm sorry.
Anti-whiteism.
Anti-whiteism, but it had a V, and I thought it looked kind of cool. At first, I thought it was very odd, because it's an ism. It's a very, very odd thing. And then when after the Truck Roy conversation, I realized that what he had done is not just a translation, an expanded translation. He did something totally unique. And what's useful about it is not the ism, is the fact that you're pointing out a pathology. It is a path. Anti-white is a pathology. It's a total pathology. That the ruling political correct religion operates under. It's a total pathology.
Yes, another point there is that a lot of people use anti-white racism, you know.
Well, yeah, I don't like that at all.
No. So we can give them anti-whitism.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ed, the reason why anti-white racism doesn't work is because that term racism has been defined in an anti-white context. And so you have a contradiction within that term that kind of kills it. It's like, you know, a dead battery. It just doesn't work. And so you really need a term to recognize this pathology. I think you agree, Horace, that anti-white racism it's a no-go.
Right, right. I mean, if they're going to say anti-white racism, I prefer them to say anti-whiteism.
Exactly.
I will be the first to tell you, I haven't used it extensively. It's very odd, but we'll give stuff out for you guys to use and let them use it and see if they like it or not.
It is
workable.
Right. The real test of it is whether it works or not. You know, my first impressions of it are favorable, but the bottom line is, does it work? Is it useful for you in helping point out white genocide?
Yeah, right. It's all over. Go ahead.
Yeah, what we've seen in Sweden is that one group who used it, some people pick it up and then use it into their own language when they are describing things. It's like it's a useful word for them when they're trying
right,
to describe
it. Right, because everything, what we're in is a stage where everything's an ism, and we want to end all isms, but that's another story for another day. So what's, you know, anti-whiteism is the ism of isms. It's the prevailing religion. So I think it's interesting. It's better than anti-white racism, for sure. Anti-whiteism.
I can understand some of the people on Bob's site were a little bit concerned about the word. And I loved their concerns, because their concerns were that it would take us off track of talking about white genocide. And I can understand that. I can understand their concern, because we're not opposed to anti-whiteism. Specifically, we're opposed to white genocide, because, you know, anti-whiteism can take the form of affirmative action, which discriminates against white.
Well, anti-whiteism is a prevailing pathology to make sure there's no such thing as a white country on this planet, to make sure white genocide is basically a fait accompli. It basically makes sure it's just a one big ball coming at you. This is anti-whiteism is something that covers everything instead of anti-white racism. So
exactly right. And you know, white genocide is an act. I mean, it's an act that is you've got massive non-white immigration.
Being anti-white, of course, would be anti-whiteism, and that is the pathology that allows them to commit the act.
Right, right. Yeah. Because you know, no act happens in a vacuum. You don't just suddenly flood white countries with non-whites and then force assimilation just because it happened to jump into your mind. It's part of a thought process of a pathology.
Anti-whiteism is a pathology that allows all these white people to not only permit but to actually beg for white genocide. So yeah, it's much better than saying self-hating or something like that. It's better to say white anti-whiteism. It's a pathology. It is self-hating, obviously, in some other aspects. It's just being a traitor, but it is a pathology.
If you want ways to use it, you can just look at how they use anti-Semitism.
Sure.
And then you say what they are doing and say, well, that's anti-whiteism. You get ideas from how they use that word, because you can use anti-whiteism in the same kind of way, you know. The growth of anti-whiteism.
Anti-whiteism is a mental disease. It's a disease. It's a pathology.
Yeah, and you know, like any kind of pathology or sickness, people who are infected with it will often act in irrational or unhealthy ways. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if anti-whiteism is responsible for a substantial amount of the mental disorders in white countries today. I mean, that is cruel and sick to attack a kid from kindergarten to college and tell him his essential identity, who he is evil, and that's what anti-whiteism does. It's, you do that to a kid from the time they're, you know, a small child all the way through their adulthood, and they're going to start behaving irrationally. It's bad. It's almost like a form of torture.
Absolutely. It's a sickness, but it's a broad label for things, especially for those that are content to use anti-white racism. It's much better to use anti-whiteism because it's a unique term, unique to us, which immediately goes into white genocide.
Right. Right. And I mean, if you can compare too, you know, if this sort of process was being used on any other sort of people on the planet, you know, if you had little Jewish kids or you had little black kids, and from the time they were just little kids, you told them that they were evil and they're responsible for all the world's ills, and you pounded them with that day and night in the media, in the classroom, and everything like that, you know, obviously that's cruel and unusual punishment. You know, we're just calling out that same program that's being used against us, and, you know, so far nobody's had a word for it. I guess this word has been around a little bit, but it hadn't been in wide use. And one of the things about having something that you cannot put a label on, if you can't define it, you're afraid of it. Once you can put a label on it and you can describe it, then you feel like you have a little bit of power over it. Now we can know what we're talking about. And I really felt this way about the term white genocide, because, you know, for decades, a lot of us, depending on where you grew up, saw white genocide eating up your neighborhoods, taking your city by city, block by block, and destroying the place that we lived, and destroying our race, but we didn't have a word for it. And so,
well, anti-Semitism is a very broad word, and the reason anti-whiteism, it sounded very odd to me at first, for obvious reasons. And then once I started thinking about it, for instance, this is a current event. This is the way I have been playing with it. Paula Deen, of course, we can't really label her anti-white. There, you know, but she does suffer from anti-whiteism.
She suffers from it, all right. I mean, she lost her entire empire because of anti-whiteism.
I mean, we don't. She's not exactly running around saying we're going to genocide white children. She's not some huge supporter, you know, at least not yet. But she definitely, you know, I don't know much about her being a white anti-white, but we can put a general label on it very quickly instead of just saying she's anti-white. We say anti-whiteism, and then immediately provoke the larger pathology.
Let me ask you about that, Horace, because it seems to me that she's suffering. She's receiving the punishment from anti-whiteism. I mean, it's not that she's promoting it. I mean, here's a gal who, I mean...
Right, but that's my point. It's so broad that you can say it to get in a general conversation about it. Oh, it's anti-whiteism. She's being punished. She's being punished by the very system that she abides by.
Right, because she comes on TV
crying.
Well,
just being honest, she could have sat there and lied and probably got away with everything, but she was honest about something she said 30 years ago, and now they're going to sit there and she's going to lose everything. It's anti-whiteism.
You know what's particularly disturbing to me is here's a woman who's been attacked and lost millions and millions of dollars worth of her business empire and basically leveled because she admitted to doing something that everybody on the planet's done, which is use a racial term at one time or another. And So this is clearly, you know, Chris Rock talked about killing white people on Saturday Night Live, and nobody ever, you know, some people criticized him, but it didn't destroy his career or anything. So we have a clear case of an anti-white system punishing Paula Deen and destroying her. And so she ought to be outraged. She ought to be saying, this is anti-whiteism, this is wrong. If this was used against any other sort of race, if a black guy admitted to using the word cracker or something, you know, it wouldn't destroy his career. Instead of getting angry and pointing out the double standard, instead she comes on TV and cries.
Well, she doesn't have anything to say. She doesn't know what to say if she's a racist. The paradigm for being called a racist is to sit and cry and ask for forgiveness. She doesn't say, well, in your opinion, I'm a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white, you know.
We need to email her some talking points.
Yeah, well, I don't think she'll ever use them. She's too afraid. But this is where you've got to be able to start defending yourself publicly, you know. I mean, at one time, 30, 40 years ago in the South, they were actually eating candy. What was the name of the candy? Negro Toes or something like that?
Yeah.
They're doing. They have all kinds of things like that in the South. And the idea that she said the word big deal. Or some word. What did she say? She supposedly said, what did she say?
Oh, and she said that sometime in the past, maybe, I think she mentioned she was being robbed by a Negro at gunpoint, and in recounting the story, she used the N-word. Gee whiz. I mean, who hasn't? I mean, you know, obviously.
So basically, because I'm not an expert on the Paula Deen case, but I saw that she used the word nigger. That's what they were saying.
Right.
Explicitly. And then, of course, they talked about her using something about Jews or something else, too. But anyways, so she engaged in some politically incorrect talk, which we know certainly the Jews do from time to time.
Everybody does. Mexicans, blacks, everybody uses these words. Her mistake was she was honest on a stand.
Well, her mistake is that she's white and anti-whitism and anti-whitism and the religion of political correctness rules the day. She can't ever make an ethnic joke.
Right. And that's the most solid evidence that anti-whitism is the establishment religion, is that anybody else can make an ethnic joke. Jews can make ethnic jokes, blacks, Mexicans, anybody can make an ethnic joke, use an ethnic slur. Guys like Jamie Foxx can get away with talking about killing white people and it doesn't hurt their career. In fact, it helps them make more movies and get more movie roles. But the fact that we're the only people who can't say anything, we got to walk on eggshells all the time, is yet more evidence that anti-whiteism is the establishment religion.
Yeah. It's what political correctness is all about.
Well, I guess we've solved all the world's problems here. We got anything else?
I think it's a way anything that can move for the discussion on white genocide should be adopted or at least tried, especially regarding new terms like anti-whiteism.
Absolutely. And like I said, you know, some of the couple guys on Bugs who didn't like it, I love the reasons they didn't like it for. They were worried they'd take away from the white genocide talking point.
It just describes a path. Anytime you have an ism nowadays, it's a pathology.
Right.
That's what we're doing. We're creating a path. We're formally making anti-white into a pathology, and I support that. It is a mental disease.
Right, and that's what it's about, talking about pathology. It's not replacing...
And, of course, Paula White is a great example of demoralization.
Yeah.
True information doesn't mean anything to anyone. They will... You Pavlov's dogs, that stimuli comes out, and she just grovels and grovels and grovels and grovels.
Right, and our job with the talking points is to break demoralization, and that's what anti-whiteism, the term, helps do. By defining new terms, it helps break the current spell or the current reality that people live under.
And they're trying to get around this. I mean, what's funny about this is I saw on Fox News, you've got all the black pundits and everything, and I'm watching, they're talking about the double standard. On one side, you've got the N-word being used by the rappers. The rappers say, nigga this, nigga that. And then on the other end, you got Paula Deen, 30 years ago, getting annihilated. And I think this could be the end of a trend. We could be seeing the end of a trend. On a macro scale, we have the fall of the Soviet Union. Now we're seeing the fall, start of political correctness. I think it's starting. Of course, our job, you know, my favorite quote, which most of my listeners don't know, my favorite quote is from Nietzsche. And Nietzsche said, that which is falling should also be pushed.
I like that. And you know, of course, the solution here is not to start using the word nigger all the time. It's to start using the word anti-white all the time.
Using words like that for shock and value might be fine for rappers, but that can get you off message. That is classic.
Right.
It puts you into tailgating so fast.
Right.
You know, it gets you off message.
But. By the way, the word anti-white is spreading like wildfire. I'm seeing it poke up in my state paper in the opinion.
You know what's interesting about anti-white? One of these brain trusts over on Stormfront, someone that knows a lot of history, that word is 100 years old. I don't know why someone took it so over 100. I don't know why someone took it so long to not use it. I mean, Bob has used it ever since I've known him. I don't know if he's first started using it. I'm guessing there's a handful that first start using words like that. But Bob has been pushing that nonstop ever since I know him. I was just shocked that it was 100 years old. It's funny how this, I mean.
Well, and that's like people say, well, anti-whiteism has been around for a long time. Well, as Bob pointed out, you know, the Chinese had gunpowder for hundreds of years, but they never weaponized it. You know, we're taking a term and we're using it for a specific cause and weaponizing it and putting it into a consistent message. And from there, you know, it'll pop up in your local paper, it'll pop up on Fox News, whatever.
Yeah, now, Adelheim, speak up.
Yeah, you're making so many points here, so it's...
you gotta start speaking. This is your first Follow the White Rabbit. You got to yap.
Yeah.
You got to speak up. Get a word in edgewise. You invented it. Or you've been the first to use this over in Europe. Why exactly did you start?
Suggesting to use it, you know, because we tried it in Sweden and, you know, sort of suggesting to use it also in America, you know.
Sure, sure, sure. I know you guys are using it. I've seen it in other places across Europe, too. Why did you first start using it? Were you just replacing anti-white racism? Or what? I remember you were talking about some problem you were facing in the translation of certain,
yeah, it was
certain concepts in the Swedish language.
I don't remember how we came up with it, really. But it, as I said, you know, you have anti-white racism, which doesn't work, and needed another word, and tried using it, and first sort of felt strange to use it. But after we use it more and more, you know, it fits, as Truck Roy said, it describes something, and now we're getting used to it, and then we see other people taking it seriously, of course.
Yeah, anti-whiteism is a lot easier to define than anti-white racism. Anti-white racism contaminates it with the definition of racism given by the enemy. That's what I don't like about it. Anti-whiteism is just a pathology that promotes white genocide on all fronts at all times.
You can also say, for example, you know, why do people believe in anti-whiteism? You know, what's the cause of that? And you can start a discussion.
Yeah. Pink rabbits. Pink rabbits cause it all. All their
fault. Well, and you know, you can use that term not just to point out a phenomenon or establishment religion, but you can use it to beat people over the head.
Yeah, sure. That's what we're using the term anti-white is. That's how racism is used. That's how anti-Semitism is used. We're actually not necessarily trying to beat people over the head. We're trying to push a discussion on white genocide, and to do that is a pretty aggressive act at this day and time. So, you know, we're imposing terminology.
Well, yeah. Now, you know, I have a tough time. I know I said the anti-whiteism seems natural to me, but in reality, it's hard for me sometimes to get my head around new concepts. And anti-white, the term anti-white, I struggled with a bit. And I was doing the Don and Derek Black show, and I think I had you on the show, Horace, and I was, or maybe I was talking on your show, I can't remember what the context was, but I said, you know, we've got to make sure we don't use this term anti-white in the wrong context. And you pointed out to me, you said, well, you know, I don't see guys being too shy about using the word racist in the wrong context. You know, I mean, when you've got a term that works, use it early, use it often, and beat people over the head with it.
Yeah. No doubt about it.
And if you want to be good using a term, you first have to realize yourself how to use it good. You have to first internalize it and think about it.
Oh, yeah.
And then it becomes natural. Then it falls out in the right way.
Yeah.
Anti-whiteism is something that stuck me a little odd. Me and Nord Doxson were talking about it. And it was always odd to me because it's an ism. But at the same time, we're trying to end an ism.
Right. And
describing something that they believe in.
Yeah.
But, of course, it's something for you guys to try. It's nothing to necessary to replace what we're doing. It's just to expand on it, to give another tool.
Still, anti-white should be used the most. You know, that's what I do.
Yeah, where all to use anti-whiteism, I don't know, but I would much rather see that than anti-white racism. Anti-white racism is lame.
Yeah, and it's intended to use to, first of all, you know, replace anti-white racism.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And in that context, I think I don't know that there's any bugger that couldn't agree with that, because anti-whiteism is something generally ours to push a discussion on white genocide. Anti-white racism is kind of like, that's kind of blurry. Reverse racism, that's all BS.
Yeah.
Racism is something in only white countries, only white children's, you know, only white people have to deal with. Paula Deen, nothing like that has happened to anyone but someone white like Paula Deen. What happened to Paula Deen? Yeah, it's anti-whiteism.
Yeah, you know, I thought the Paula Deen thing was big. I don't know why, and I'm not real good at reading these things. But
Jimmy Carter commented on it. I'm like, why has he got? I mean, he's an anti-white, no doubt about
it. Oh, he is. He is a self-hating son.
The idea that he commented that she shouldn't be punished in this and that, I'm like, whoa, okay.
Yeah.
It may be going too far. If you have Jimmy Carter, usually Jimmy Carter's like, oh, that was evil racist. But to have him comment that Paula Deen should not be punished like this, I'm like, well, maybe the establishment thinks his stuff is going way too far. I mean, it's kind of like a self-reinforcing religion, and, you know, the whole thing's, the Bibles, the political correct Bibles are starting to burn. Like, this is absurd. What's shocking is how many people are buying her books. Her books are a number one seller on Amazon. Her stuff is flying off the shelves. I'd like to see the ethnic makeup of the people buying her stuff.
I bet it's not Negroes.
I bet it's not black. Well, there are black commentators on Fox News that think it's all nonsense. So I mean, even blacks can get fed up with things from time to time. But I just think, yeah, obviously your support base is mostly white, and I don't think it's all Southern either. So, it's just interesting.
Well, I just know, you know, obviously in my business,
the Food Network, in my opinion, the Food Network is by and large a white channel.
Yeah. But you know, in my business, you know, I talk to people every day, and of course, it's been the topic for the last week. And you know, I've had such an easy time saying anti-racist is just a code word for anti-white. You know, that's just rolling off my tongue, and it fits into every conversation because this case just makes the point so clearly.
Oh, definitely, and I think it's a test case. For anyone that wants to use anti-whiteism instead of saying anti-white racism, or instead of hearing that, just say anti-whiteism. Break it off. Create something new. Allow you talked about white genocide a lot easier than having to get around the R word, which I don't even like saying. You just rephrase it.
Right. Right.
Any other comments, Adelheim?
I think we covered all, you know, about anti-whiteism and why we came up with it and so forth, and still use anti-white the most, I think. Yeah.
And what else? What we can say nothing else about anti-whiteism. That's the basics of anti-whiteism. We'll get it out there. They can use it instead of anti-white racism. That's for sure.
Right. And just
there's a lot of conservatives that use anti-white racism, and it bothers me to no end. It's an inferior term, definitely, to anti-whiteism.
Right, and again, this is, you know, for the people who don't like it, don't use it. I mean, it's basically just, you know, if it's a tool you can use, use it. If not, stick with the other stuff that works for you.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yes. What else would you like to talk about, Adelheim? Truck? Anything?
I think that's it, man. I think we'll keep it short and sweet. I think we've nailed it. When first part we talked about, you know, the media stuff. We are going to be talking to the media. I mean, when you start taking over the world, someone's going to notice. And then
but we're not taking over the world, but we're taking over the SPLC told me it said something like one of the biggest neo-Nazi websites there is or something like that, and I am nowhere near as big as many of the websites. So we have been effective at pushing out a message, which of course is the main goal. Of course, we are a whole slew of websites and web pages devoted to bringing a discussion on white genocide into the public sphere.
Obviously you and I and the Bugsers are not taking over the world, but our message is.
Yeah.
And this is one misconception.
That's what Bob was talking about.
Right.
Yes.
This is a misconception that I think the SPLC and a lot of people who first start looking into this are going to make, is that, you know, Horace runs the show or Bob Whitaker runs the show. This is a very decentralized strategy that we're using. And there are many sites, Facebook sites, there's sites everywhere that are springing up, new ones every day, along these talking points. And so, you know, even if Bob's site shut down tomorrow, it would barely put a dent in what we're doing. The genie's out of the bottle now.
Yeah, you have 90 days to 6 months. Once message comes live, to be conservative, you've got 90 days to try to kill the messenger, to destroy the message. If the message goes live, it's like an air ratchet. The guy that produces the air ratchet, when he's coming in to sell the air ratchet for the first time to all the automotive guys and everything else, like, look, I got this wonderful invention. I got an air ratchet. You don't have to use all those standard old ratchets. I got an air ratchet. You can use this. Now, at that point in time, they can discredit him. They can say, okay, you don't like your mama. You don't go to church. You're fat. You don't eat right. You can say whatever about him and say, well, maybe this invention is no good. But the problem is, once they start using it for a few days, the longer they go using it, the more they don't care about who invented the air ratchet. I don't even know who invented it, but I know you're not going to take it away from my mechanic.
Exactly. Well said.
It doesn't work that way, and that is these tools. It doesn't really – these kids saying things around the planet like anti-racism is a code word for anti-white, I don't even know if they know I exist, and it doesn't matter. That's how it's designed, but –
I know the columnist in my local paper, when he uses the word anti-white, doesn't know you exist or that I exist. But he's going to use it, and he's going to keep using it. And all these kids in Spain and in Greece and in Germany and everywhere else, you know, Well, you know what? Remember at the first Stormfront conference, Whitaker had a great line. He says, if somebody's got their foot on your throat, the only thing that matters is getting that next breath. Sure. You know, in other words, stay focused on the white genocide thing. The other stuff is peripheral. And when you give somebody a tool that will allow them to get that next breath, you're not going to ever pry it out of their hands.
Right, but it also, like I say, everything starts with being able to defend yourself verbally.
Right.
That's right. Where it all starts. But
otherwise, you end up like Paula Deen.
So, you know, if we, in a while, will be approached by journalists or some of us, you know, choose to be more public about the views, any thoughts on that?
That is a spontaneous thing. That is a watershed. You know, there was a time when the Soviet Union came in down that all these guys were spreading Samizdat and various different things under its total anonymous model. And then there's a time when nothing's anonymous. I don't know when that point crossover is. You know, we created an anonymous model where everyone could be a rabbit. Some kid doesn't have to worry. You know, to get themselves defending themselves, to get people, white people, defending themselves verbally, you're going to have to create a game. You're going to have to take it out of the box. We know from the model of the Soviet Union, you can't just have Bob out there putting them on message because they won't necessarily use it without giving him credit. We created a game, a model, if you will, a template based on a Samizdat model, an anonymous model. We made everyone into rabbits by making myself into a rabbit. But at a certain point in time, if everyone's using anti-racism, a code word for anti-white, obviously there's nothing to hide. It's just to get them over the initial fear of defending themselves. Get them over the initial fear to get them moving toward a direction of pushing white genocide into the mainstream discussion. Discussion all across the planet is what we want. More importantly, we want the contradictions pointed out. And I was pleasantly surprised to see what's going on in the UK with them pointing out the contradictions at a very public level.
Yeah, but, you know, obviously, if you have these conversations and people are talking about white genocide in private, in dorm rooms, in their houses, whatever, eventually the words are going to start coming out on TV and everything. But, you know, spreading a message is different than, like, a formal process of building an organization and then you have a spokesman and everything.
They're trying to say, you know, it seemed like to me that they're, you know, certain parties interested in Bob or interested in discrediting Bob or having a discussion on Bob, whatever, some type of slander piece, which you got to have credibility. Bob has been attacked by people with credibility before. So attacking him without a lot of credibility is you know, kind of funny. But people are using the stuff, so it's a little late for that. But with that being said, it sounds like they kind of want to attach it to something violent, which goes against everything I've ever talked about since day one. It's just kind of an odd thing.
But they're
looking at us like an actual group, and that is deeply flawed, because it doesn't matter if I make any more foul of the white rabbits. I've said that long ago. It doesn't matter.
Most of our opposition are from older groups and older organizations like the SPLC, and you know these guys are always fighting. Last year's war, you know,
generals always fight the last battle, right?
Right, and of course, usually the current battle has a different set of rules and everything, and the rules we're operating under have to do with sound, have to do with vibration, have to do with getting on a certain frequency, and it just starts feeding through the system. It has nothing to do with using physical violence and things like that.
Yeah. It's 100% true. It's using the energy of the system against itself, using the weight of an opponent against itself. And Paula Deen could have actually done that. That's what's happening in the Paula Deen case. The weight of the system came down so hard, it was too aggressive. Jimmy Carter, oh my, that's too mean. You know, come on now.
Right. And probably I'd say in the next few years, you'll see somebody in a position like Paula Deen actually start using talking points.
I may not. With what's going on at the top, and we'll do another podcast on that, with what we're seeing right in front of our faces with the Snowden affair, it won't be that long. It's just America's coming out of a very demoralized state. It takes 15 years to brainwash a nation. It takes 15 years to neutralize that with the new media. With the Internet, a lot of stuff is coming down. A lot of barriers are coming down. A lot of fundamental questions are being asked.
Yeah,
things can happen shockingly, shockingly quickly.
That's right, that's right. And we can't predict the future, but we know that it's getting interesting. You know, for the listeners out there that have been following things for a while, keep in mind, for those of you that have been over to Bob's site, long before Snowden fled an authoritarian government and went to Russia, Bob Whitaker sent a letter to Medvedev asking him to help us stop white genocide. And so, I don't see things as clearly as Whitaker does, but, usually he's about one step ahead.
Well, there may be a tie-in. We'll go into that in another Follow the White Rabbit. We may see something interesting. What they've been able to do, in the words of Paul Craig Roberts, is Washington's sanctimonious maps, or maybe he was quoting someone else from overseas, maybe the Ecuadorian or ambassador or whatever. But Washington's sanctimonious mask has been ripped off its face. On an international level, what we're looking to do is do that internally, and we believe that the keystone to their pyramid is white genocide. It's the biggest contradiction. We see it, the anti-whitism of Paula Deen, but that is the general policy, what they're supporting, what multiculturalism and diversity are just genocidal scams. That's what we're pushing.
Nonstop, day and night, and it's fun, man. I love it.
Yeah. Any last words, Adelheim?
No, I think you covered it all.
Covered everything? Well, this is Horace the Avenger. You listen to another Follow the White Rabbit. Hope you enjoyed this discussion, and we'll be back with you. We plan on doing more and more of these. I know you guys are yelling for these in demand, and we are busy working on all kinds of stuff. If you haven't checked out Anti-Racist Hitler, you might want to check that out. But this is H. Avenger. You're listening to Horace the Avenger's Follow the White Rabbit on WhiteRabbitRadio.net.
All right, I'm going to stop the recording there. And...
White Rabbit Radio.